What's up, everybody? Welcome to Above the Board Podcast with Josh
and Phil.
Where we say above the board
with Josh and Phil.
We record in front of a live streaming audience on twitch.tv/above the board.
You can catch all of our past episodes.
AboveTheBoardPodcast.com.
So this is our Geeking On episode before we get into our board game of the week. Or of the month. Who went first last time? I think it was you, yeah. It was Starfield. It was Are you still geeking on Starfield?
Like Garfield.
Yeah, Garfield. The lovable.
Yeah. I am still geeking on Starfield. I made it to the new game plus.
Yeah?
And it is fun in an exciting new way, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's good.
Because you get all the cool Starborn powers.
I didn't even know about this. Yeah. I thought it was just like it switched up like the missions and all that.
Yeah.
Like you get like perks, I guess, or
yeah,
like
there's perks, and then you also get to be like when you land, they're like, "Oh my gosh, who are you?" And you can be like, "Look, this is what happened. I'm reliving it." And they're like, "Okay, here's where all the things are." Or you can be like, "I don't know, who are you?" And do the whole story again.
Oh yeah.
So it's pretty sweet.
What way are you doing it?
Oh, I was just like, yeah.
Like an omniscient, yeah. Like
I'm
all,
the boss.
Yeah. I know everything.
Yeah, and it's kind of wild because it is, it's just like, it gives you one quest with like eight, like, here's where all the artifacts are, go get them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
That's pretty sweet.
And it is like, kind of like, become, I care less about people now that I know I'm in a multiverse.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm going to steal this ship. Oh, look, there's one of the pirates who are flying it. It's like, you just killed a colonist. I was like, oh, well. Guess I better kill all the witnesses.
I'm Dr. Manhattan now. I don't care about anything or anyone. This is basically who you become, I guess. That's what it sounds like anyway.
You know, you have to be, but
true.
Why not?
I'm just
going to reboot the universe in a minute anyway.
Given the option, why not be a giant blue naked guy blowing stuff up? I'm glad. How many hours are you in now?
90.
Ooh, well, I feel like you're only at like, well, I guess you've doubled.
We said around 80 a week ago.
Oh, did we?
So
okay,
I'm like at a much more normal video game cadence for me now that
the break
is over.
Found the rhythm. So speaking of video games, I'm also playing a new one. The one Prince of Persia.
I'm so excited.
And the Lost Crown, super good. It is a classic Prince of Persia game, like the Metroid, well, side-scroller.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but they make it a Metroidvania.
That's what I heard. And you know I love a Metroidvania.
Yeah, and it's done very well.
Prince of Persia.
Yeah, me too, man. So. I love Prince of Persia. I love the OG one. But I really love, like, the Nintendo.
Okay, yeah. I played it on a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
All about that game.
It was super, I love that.
And the Genesis version, too.
Yep.
I've got the comic for it.
There's a comic for it?
Yeah.
Did it come like with a game?
No, it was like it was made later. The creator of it made it.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It's good.
But I also love the Sands of Time trilogy.
Yes.
That came out on
that
like
was
the, was that PS2 era?
Yeah.
PS2 Xbox?
Yeah, I had on the Xbox.
But
I had the Godsmack song on the second one.
Yeah, the second one went crazy.
Standalone.
so weird. Like, the first one's, like, a T-rated, like, fun, like, platformer action-adventure game, you know? And then the second one becomes M-rated, and it's, like, super emo.
It is.
And
it felt very mid-2000s, though.
Yeah, for sure, it did. Yeah.
It's, like, metal emo.
It was, like, a 2002 game, for sure. No, so Prince of Persia Lost Crown, I love it. It's great. I love the Metroidvania, because I, too, also love Metroidvania games. The boss fights are awesome, as you should expect them to be.
Oh, awesome.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The different powers you get, they're time-based. Like,
yeah.
Pretty much since Sands of Time, I guess. The original one didn't have anything
did it? Well, it had a big hourglass.
Yeah.
Like, and as you advance the game, it cut to the princess, like, looking at the hourglass. Because it also had, like, that hard 60-minute limit.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if you couldn't beat Prince of Persia in 60 minutes, you lose anyways.
Yeah, well.
I remember I had a friend or whatever who was like, had a save game where he was like real close. Like he had a guide and everything, but he just like had a minute left and could not get to the boss.
That's a bummer. That is a bummer. Yeah, no, this one's got everything you want out of a Metroidvania and a Prince of Persia game. A lot of cool platforming, cool combat. And the, like I said, the bosses are great. The animation's great. There's like side quests, which is kind of different, but it's cool. Like, it's a lot, the side quests are more like hunt down these many things.
Yeah, but just having them is interesting.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like that's not necessarily like common in the Metroidvania.
No, but then you also have like your, you know, your upgrade your gear, like collect so many of these items and cash them in to upgrade your sword and your what other weapons or items you might acquire. You get these like little amulets that you can upgrade that kind of like serve as like perks that you can equip that give you certain bonuses, you know, like increase your attack when you're in the air, or like if you parry an enemy attack, like a time bubble shows up and anything caught in a time bubble is like slows down. Nice. So you could like follow up with like a couple of counterattacks or whatever before they can react, stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's I'm probably about halfway through it, and it's very in-depth, very huge, like it's massive, like
awesome.
The map itself is just, it just keeps going. Like, I think, like, I've reached the end of one area, and then all of a sudden, like, I'll do a couple little things to advance the story, and then it's like, nope, you go up here, and this, like, spot that you thought was the edge of the map, you know, it's, like, actually a whole new labyrinth for you to go out and explore.
Nice. That's a good Metroidvania.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and I'm just kind of using it to bide my time until the spring big games come out, you know.
Which one are you looking forward to?
Well, not Suicide Squad. The one that's coming out tomorrow, actually, I think.
Didn't it come out, like, yesterday for an hour, and then they turned it off because it was busted?
Yeah, something like that. But no, I am excited for the Silent Hill 2 remake. That looks awesome. I was a big fan of Silent Hill, the series.
Yeah.
But really only just 1 and 2 and kind of parts of 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first game, me and my friend, like, loved playing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't get anywhere in it.
Yeah.
Just, but we loved
it's good.
Every second of that crackling radio.
Yes, dude. It's so good. And 2 is great because 2 introduces, like, the Pyramid Head guy that everyone associates Silent Hill with.
Yeah.
You know? So that's coming pretty soon. The next Final Fantasy VII remake chapter is coming out soon because they remaking 7, but they're doing it as a trilogy because like they just made the game so huge. Instead of doing like one remake, they're breaking it into a trilogy. So they did Final Fantasy VII Rebirth that came out.
Yeah, I thought that was a remake
year?
Of the whole
or
thing.
Or 2 years?
No, it was just part one.
Yep, it was just a like that one is just up until like halfway through the first disc of the original game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this one coming out in a few weeks, maybe either at the end of the month or early March, I can't remember, but you have just a whole bunch of, like, it's huge, apparently. Like, it's, like, twice the size of what Rebirth was, and apparently it's still not, as far as, like, the original timeline goes, like, it's still just a little tiny chunk out of it. So I guess they're saving, from what I understand, a big chunk of, like, wrapping everything up for the last one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this one, I think, is more of open world exploring Midgard, like the planet, like a lot of open world stuff.
Does your save file carry over, or do they, like...
I think so.
...link up?
Yeah,
is
I think
like
so.
DLC, or is it just a standalone game?
No, it's, like, I think you can transfer your save file from Rebirth over to this next one.
Yeah.
Which I'm drawing a blank on what they're calling it. So that whatever choices you made...
Yeah.
Will, you know, tie over. And, like, all the stats and everything,
that's
whatever.
Wild.
But, yeah, there's a few others that I'm looking forward to that I'm just kind of drawing a blank on. But, like, every January, February, I always play smaller games.
I'm just really hoping Star Wars Outlaw doesn't come out in the spring.
No, it won't. It'll be a fall game for sure.
They're saying they might get it out before the summer.
Ooh, that'd be spicy.
I'm like, no.
I'd be surprised if they do.
I want it to be a fall release so I can... Yeah. That could be my game next Christmas.
But then I could also see them doing that because Indiana Jones is, like, a big hype push, like, fall release right now. So, like, competing, you know, similar...
I feel like they're so different, though, gameplay-wise.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the licenses, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What else are you geeking on, Phil?
I've got, like, a rant ready to go about this Barbie Oscar snub.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because, like, I've got opinions.
Okay.
I got to share them.
Sure.
Okay.
This is a place to do it.
All right. So, first of all, Ryan Reynolds is not in the movie. Ryan Gosling, however.
He is, yeah. Yeah. Correct.
100% deserves an Oscar nomination.
Yes.
For his acting.
Yes.
Like, I feel like when people ask me about Barbie, that's, like, the first thing I bring up where I was like, he's amazing.
Ken makes the movie.
Yes. Because he just plays it so... Like, it's the most ridiculous character. And he plays it so seriously that it makes it 10 times funnier.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Which is, like, incredible acting. So then, so apparently we've snubbed Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Right?
People are up in arms about it.
And I feel like maybe not. Right? Like, there's even a joke in the movie about Margot Robbie, like, being... obviously cast as Barbie, you know, right? Like,
yeah,
she's not drinking their milkshake like Daniel Day-Lewis, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's not to say she's doing a bad job, but it's not like, oh, what acting. I've been transported to a new world with a new character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And kind of similar with the direction, right? Like, it wasn't directed poorly at all. It was very good. But, like, Nolan had a special effects team build a bomb so he could film it on actual film. You know, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
I feel like there's a difference in the direction there.
Yeah.
And so, but I think to me the scandal is that no one's talking about is Greta Gerwig did get an Oscar nomination for writing. And that movie is super well written.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's amazing. Like, the fact that it is, it's like, it handles the topic of this doll that has these, like, weird ideals that no one can live up to, but is also super accessible.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like,
they
tie it into the story really well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, additionally, Margot Robbie did get an Oscar nomination for production.
Did
for
you?
For being a producer. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the fact that she got this movie made that's so off the wall, that's so, like, makes fun of the product it's advertising... and literally makes fun of the executives who make it.
Yeah.
And pulled it off.
Yeah. Like, very, you know, successfully.
Definitely does, like, that's Oscar-worthy work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And...
so funny.
No one's talking about America Ferrera's Oscar nom either.
Yeah, for, like, supporting actress. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just like this... it makes me upset, because it's like a non-issue, but there's this whole meme about, oh, they were snubbed.
Yeah.
It's like, no. They got the right
They got their flowers, yeah.
You know?
I get it.
It's like, just because you're not going to watch the production Oscar winners.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, with, like, the Academy or, you know, SAG Awards or Golden Globes, you know, they're all... I still love them. I still, like, love seeing, like, who gets nominated, who wins and all that stuff. But, I mean, it is also very, like, you know, country clubbish.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, and we all know this.
Yeah.
But I think the point that I'm getting to is that I just think it's so funny that everything is nominated and run by the Academy or by the Ford and Press Association for the Golden Globes or, like, fellow actors and producers and directors for SAG.
Yeah.
Which is also what the Academy is. They're all, like, it's like a community of directors, producers, and actors that are, like, in this thing or whatever. But, no, we're all up in arms about, like, noms or snubs when it's, like, it's... they're voting for themselves, you know what I mean? I do think it is kind of like a waste of time to, like, get all bent out of shape. You can be like, oh man, it sucks, but then it's funny that you bring up the point that she's nominated for production and Gerwig's nominated for writing.
Yeah.
So that there's, like, ultimately no point.
Yes. I know. It's
so funny.
Like, because it's not like they did a bad job directing
or
acting, but they didn't blow me away.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the other stuff up there is, like, really good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where people are clearly acting at another level.
Yeah. Well, and, like, just, like, the production value of the movie itself, like, deserves, in my opinion, more of the hype and praise than the, you know, direction or Margot Robbie's acting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean? You know? It's like they got awarded for things that made the movie great.
Costume, I think art design.
Yeah. We got 8 noms overall.
Yeah,
right?
Which, like, is insane.
It's really good.
If you had asked me, like, 5 years ago... No, actually, if you'd asked me, like, when I saw the first trailer for the Barbie movie, like, hey, do you think that's going to get any Oscar noms? I'd be like, no. It'll make over $1 billion. I saw that coming. Everyone saw that coming from a mile away.
I didn't even watch the trailer. I was just like, ugh, Barbie movie. Well, rolled my eyes.
Into another dimension. Now, as soon as the trailer hit and I saw the amount that was put into the movie,
yeah.
I was like, oh, it'll easily, for a summer movie, easily make $1 billion. But I had no idea, and I had no inkling or no forethought that it could possibly have 8 noms for the Academy Awards. It's crazy to me. Including Best Picture, which is also crazy to me. I wouldn't...
Well, I mean, now that they do 10 movies...
True.
I was like, 10. Can you name 10?
Do you remember that, though? Like, when it was, like, 5 or 6?
Yeah, everything was 5, right? Yeah. I thought. And I'm just like, could I name 10 good movies from 2023?
Best Picture worthy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just true. Like, of all the movies I saw that came out last year...
It's true.
I don't know if I can name 10, then I'll be like, oh, it was the best
like
one.
Like, Best Picture, yeah. Yeah.
So, I feel like that's kind of like a gimme. I think it's because they got so many people mad on the internet recently, you know?
Yeah.
Where, like, Barbie was a beloved movie, very successful. I don't think it's top 5, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But definitely top 10. I guess it gets a nominee. Well, because it is, like you're saying, they're just giving themselves awards.
Yeah.
But they're really marketable.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they're like, guys, we can make more money.
If we
name drop more of our own movies.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, good idea.
I saw that Killers of the Flower Moon was nominated for like 13 or something like that.
Oh,
13
wow.
noms. I was like, I don't know about all that.
Didn't you see it?
Yeah. And I liked it. I did like it. But not 13 nominations.
Did you see Oppenheimer?
No, not yet.
All right.
But I mean.
But we're going to go next
month. Yes, yes, yes. Blocked off on the old calendar.
Wait.
Have you seen it yet?
No.
Okay. I'm going to wait.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, oh, I love Nolan. I need to see it or whatever. And
yeah.
And I was just complaining about how I can't believe I missed it in the theaters. Like, it's like.
I know, right?
I hate myself for it.
I'm like the biggest like opening weekend for 2023, at least.
Yeah.
You know?
And then Luke was like, oh, when it gets Oscar nominations, they'll put it in the theaters again. I'm like, you're a genius!
It's true.
So I've been like waiting every day. I'm like, when are they going to announce it? So I know when to get my tickets.
So I have a couple of TV shows I want to talk about.
Yeah, okay. I knew I had something. I got a TV show to talk about too. Go ahead.
Okay, so the one that I'm like super into right now, it just ended today actually, and I've alluded to it, Hazbin Hotel on Amazon Prime. I love this show.
Hazbin Hotel.
It is an animated musical. It's an animated musical. The premise is that Charlie Morningstar, the daughter of Lucifer, has pity for sinners in hell. And there's an overpopulation problem. So she wants to create like a rehab center to like rehabilitate souls into heaven.
Okay.
And to like on the opposite side of that coin, hell, the powers that be of hell and heaven made an arrangement because of the overpopulation in hell of souls. Every year, angels go down and exorcise like X amount of souls in hell, and it kind of balances everything out.
Okay.
But Charlie doesn't like that. She wants to give everyone a chance to like redeem themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she creates this hotel. And I could go like further into it, but there's just, it's such an in-depth, like heavy world building show without it being like intense, like you have to pay attention to it. They just do such a good job of explaining how everything works in the world, like episode to episode.
Oh, man.
The show itself was actually a passion project done by independent artists and animators back in 2019, and it aired on
animated?
YouTube. Yep.
Okay.
It aired on YouTube in 2020, like Halloween in 2020, just a 20-minute pilot episode because they were shopping it for it to be picked up for a series. And it got like 14.5 million views on YouTube, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But no one picked it up. And then she ended up working on other projects. And then she started doing a spinoff show that YouTube is still going as of right now. It's called Hell of a Boss, but it's like set in the same world as the Hazbin Hotel. But then A24 and Amazon Prime, they backed her little tiny independent studio. And now, so they have a 2-season for right now series for Amazon Prime.
That's pretty cool.
Season 1 just ended today, literally today.
Whew.
So good. Kind of, yeah. I mean, it was more of like a setting up for like the sophomore season.
Yeah.
Like one of those like, you know, easy layups kind of deal.
Oh, because they know they got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it's so good, man. The characters, the voice acting, obviously, like the entire cast are like theater actors. You know, they've got the new Elphaba from the Wicked, like, new Wicked production or whatever, because, like, it went away for a while and then it came back.
Oh, okay.
They have some of the people from Into the Woods. They have some of the people from the Broadway of Beetlejuice.
People doing the voices?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They have some of the people from the Mean Girls Broadway musical in it. I mean, it's stacked. They got a lot of people. Keith David's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's got a couple musical numbers, which is great. The soundtrack is the guy from amazing. Atlanta, right? Keith David? No, Keith David is Goliath from Gargoyles.
Oh!
And
he's a Broadway actor.
And Dr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
But anyway, so good. It's I've been, like, obsessed with the show. Mainly the soundtrack. Like, the soundtrack has, like, 15 or 16 songs, and probably a little over half of them are, like, you know, family-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
No cussing, no alluded, nothing. So I'll let the kids listen to it, and we've all just been jamming out. I mean, they're bops, dude. Like,
all right.
They're so good. Like, it is excellent, excellent, excellent. So, Hazbin Hotel, highly recommend.
Okay.
But then also, the other one I want to talk about real quick, I started watching True Detective.
Oh, yeah.
The latest season of True Detective mm-hmm. has Jodie Foster in it.
Yeah.
You dig it, man. I don't know if you've seen any other...
I haven't seen any of them. It seems interesting, but it's like... It's like one of those shows where I like, I think I might be interested, but it's like a mystery, so no one will say what it is. You know?
Like, what do you mean?
I mean, they're like detective shows.
Yeah.
So no one, like, tells you the whole thing.
Right.
Because it's like, you don't they're like puzzles. Ruin it.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Like, season one famously had, what's his name? Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. They're like, the story was so dark, though, for season one that it screwed them up. Like, famously, they've talked about interviews since, so they're like, we've got to do therapy, we've got to do this and that. So season one's great, two's garbage, three's great, and then now four, because each one's like its own standalone thing. Four is awesome. This one takes place in Alaska during the, you know, the 30 days a night type thing.
Yep.
And they're really kind of leaning more into the supernatural element of past seasons. Like, there's always been kind of like a subtle supernatural thing to them, which it was always, you know, that's going to be my vibe.
Yeah, I know. That's what interests me about it. Because I was like, ah, detective show, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, but like, then I was like,
kind of supernatural, kind of weird, creepy. This one's like leaning, so far, I think it's like three or four episodes in, and it's like leaning pretty heavy into that as of right now.
Yeah.
And they're doing a great job, man. It's so good. And the whole, like, you know, permanent night atmosphere just makes everything creepier and just moodier.
Sure.
It's very, very good, man. You should, if you get a chance. Or if you want to start watching it on a weekly basis, you're more than welcome to join our watch party. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Is your watch party you and Randy?
Yeah.
But it's a party.
I mean, it's always a party. If I'm there, it's always a party, man.
That's true. That's what I tell people.
It's what everyone should say about me.
That's why church's been boring these last few weeks.
Josh Ballard's there. It's part. No matter what you're doing. No matter what you're doing. Anyway, what you said you had something you were...
Yes. You showed me this show a while ago, and I've finally gotten around to watching it. Resident Alien.
Ooh, what do you think?
I enjoy it so much.
Good.
It's so delightful.
Yes.
I remember, because we were like playing a game while you played the first two episodes, and it's like, hey, all right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it. I don't know. It's like Alan Tudyk is just great as this like awkward alien.
So good.
He's like way too direct because he doesn't understand human culture.
Yes.
And the way he hates that kid is the best.
Yeah.
So funny.
Are you completely caught up, or are you still in the middle of it?
I'm in the middle of season two.
Okay.
Is there? I think there's only two seasons.
Right.
Was it canceled?
No. The third season's coming.
Oh.
But I think the third is the final, so it gets the.
All right.
Full end.
Cool.
You know, and I think it's airing this summer probably.
All right.
It's usually like a spring or summer.
Yeah, and I like the dark humor in it too, a whole lot.
So good, man. Oh, awesome. I love it. I love that show. Yeah, Alan Tudyk, like, when he's at the mayor's house in the first season, and he, like, tells a joke or something, and he, like, laughs.
Insane. Like, it's so funny.
Dude, they had a, I think it's a USA show, right? Like, the network?
I think it was Sci-Fi Original. I don't know. I'm watching them on Peacock.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I think
because it's also like, I feel like it was a cable channel because it looks like there's some F words in it, but on Peacock, there's like censored.
Yeah.
It's like TV 14 on Peacock. I don't know.
It's kind of wild. But yeah, no, when the show first aired, they had like weekly, you know, after the episode, they're like quick little behind the scene vignettes.
Oh, cool.
You know what I mean? And like the one of that episode cracked me up because they were showing how similar to like to tie it back to Barbie, how Ryan Gosling like played that character so perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any behind the scenes stuff, like no one could keep a straight face.
Oh yeah. No, I mean,
like that's one of the beach was so scene where he's serenading her, they shot that, like it took them forever to shoot the one scene of him and all the kids serenading the different Barbies.
Oh, yeah.
And even in the movie, you can watch, like, a lot of the other Barbies. They can't keep it together. Yeah. Like, they're just, like...
No, I even remember the big dance number at the end.
Yeah.
Like, Simu Lee is, like, dying laughing. I was like, this, like, $200 million movie, someone's breaking in it? Like, what is happening?
Yeah. But, yeah, no, they were talking about that scene where they're at the mayor's house in Resident Alien, like, it took them forever to shoot that scene because he kept changing, how he would laugh or how he would... Like, he never did the same thing twice. And, like, so it kept throwing him off, and every time he would do it, like, they would just... They could not keep it together. And eventually, the original idea was that they were going to do a back-and-forth shot where it was, like, from behind them, facing him, and then behind him facing them. But because they couldn't keep it together... They just kept the one shot of him laughing at them and then being like, ooh. But, like, they had no good shots of them, like, keeping a standing character and keeping a straight face. I just thought that was hilarious. It's so good.
Totally
it makes me happy when, like, someone's having such a good time making something like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So good. So I recently got back into... I've always, like, been huge into music.
Okay.
But, like, specifically music composition.
Oh, okay.
I really like just the design of music overall, like the sound of music, stuff like that. Like, what makes a good beat, melody, so on and so forth.
So, Andre 3000's flute album.
Is wild. I love him for it, though. You know what I mean?
I have so much respect for him putting out there what he wants to put out.
Dude, I just love Andre 3000 with all my heart and soul. Like, he's such an angel, you know? Like, he really is. You know, like, if you look at my recent playlist over the past, I'd say, honestly, 6 months, I mean, it's just people that are wide range of different types of music.
Yeah.
No country. not a fan of country. But I also recently found that, like, kind of my niche right now, like, that I'm really kind of vibing is, like, blues guitar. I really like blues guitar, or blues in general, but if it has, like, a bass or a guitar in it, perfect. It's great. Right, it's great stuff. But I say all that to say that for Christmas, Rainey got me a book called The Storyteller. It's written by Dave Grohl.
Oh, yeah.
Of Foo Fighters fame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it is an amazing book. I highly, highly recommend it to anybody who has any sort of love or interest of music, like, as an art form. Like, not just like, oh, I listen to music. Like, sure, everyone listens to music. But, like, if you really, really listen to music, you know, and then really appreciate it, this book, man, it's so good. It's like, he definitely tells his whole story, his life story, but it's not in chronological order, which is interesting. He just kind of jumps around and tells, like, different little bits and pieces here and there that kind of fit whatever theme each chapter is. But what I really love about it is that he explains from, like, an artist's perspective, like, what music means to him, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of, like, for me, like, I've just been able to connect with that idea a lot. And it's just cool to see, you know, I mean, it's not a surprise. I mean, he's a front man for a world-famous band.
Dude, now, I've said for years that he's, like, a rock and roll genius.
Yeah.
Like, he's such a talent.
Dude, he was...
Like, I was telling somebody, and they were shocked that he was Nirvana's drummer.
Yeah.
And they're like, a drummer? I was like, yeah, he's a better drummer than he is a guitar player.
Yeah.
And that's what you know him as a guitar player.
So funny. And then the book, it's so funny you say that, because, like, one of the best stories he tells is how his teenage daughter asked him to teach him how to play drums. And in his mind, he's like, oh, crap. Because he's never been professionally trained.
Yeah.
He's self-taught. He goes on, like, so he starts this story, but then he doubles back to when he was a kid, and he tells a story about how he used to go to this blues bar with his mom every Sunday afternoon. And it was kind of like, instead of karaoke, like, someone could sign up and you get up and you could perform whatever set you wanted with whatever blues instrument, you know, horns or strings or percussion. Cool. And he said that one year for his mom's birthday, she basically, like, coerced him into going out and playing drums, and he had never played drums before in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was musically inclined anyway. Like, he sure. knew how to play guitar and all this. And so he goes up there and he starts playing on the drum or whatever. And the owner of the club is a famous St. Louis blues musician. I'm forgetting the guy's name off the top of my head.
Sure.
He was just like, let's not do that anymore. And, like, kind of, like, accidentally embarrassed him on this, like, stage in front of everyone, including his mom. But then, like, after everything, he ran into the guy in the bathroom and he was like, hey, do you care... Do you train people? He's like, yeah, man, $5 a thing. And this is like in the late 70s, early 80s, you know? And he goes into a, like, he invites the guy over. The guy goes to show him how to, like, set up a drum set and play drums. And then before he even, like, gets anywhere, he's like, you're holding the drumsticks backwards. Like, you're holding them, like, with the mallet part instead of the handle part. He lays all that out to talk about, like, he hands the drumsticks to his daughter and she just starts, like, belting out. Because she's just naturally, you know, musically talented. And he's just like, this is like the magic that music is. Like, it just happens naturally and organically through people that have a natural ear for it. And even for those who don't have a natural ear for it but want to learn, like him. Like, he never thought to play drums. He was always, like, he liked other instruments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was pushed to do something he wasn't comfortable with, he became, you know, Nirvana's drummer.
Yeah.
And then now...
Dude, also the other fact people don't usually know is that the first Foo Fighter albums was all him.
Yeah.
And he hired a touring band who became the band.
Yeah.
But that first album is amazing. I love that album all the time.
So good, dude. So good. But yeah, I recommend... I'll let you borrow it if you want to check it out sometime.
That sounds really cool.
It's very... It's a quick read, too. It's not like a...
That's funny, because I feel like I've always been a Dave Grohl fan, but he's, like, so rock and roll, like, he doesn't really do, like, a lot of interviews or anything.
Not anymore.
like, even old stuff, like, when they're interviewing Nirvana, they're like, what do you think? He's like, it's cool. He's, like, so, like, doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
And so, like, the idea of him having a book is exciting just because it's, like, I can tell he's the kind of person, if you get him excited about something, they'll... talk about it all day.
Yeah, dude.
But if he doesn't care, he's gonna be like, whatever.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. He, it's such a good read. I loved it. And like I said, it just, like, it opened me up, like, got me more into the idea of, like, really delving into the composition of music more. So when I listen to, like, new albums now, including Andre 3000's flute album, I just, you know, try to figure it out versus just listening to it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's cool. It's fun. That's what I've been really,
really
vibing lately. You got anything else right now?
No. Nothing's coming to mind. I'm like geeking out, I guess, on like physical media and home theater stuff. Because I'm going to get a home theater set up hopefully this year.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. It's nothing to say. But I'm just like thinking about speaker placement all the time now.
It's like you're constant on your brain.
Yeah. Like, how many speakers should I get? How big of a amplifier do I need?
Sounds like fun.
How far away do they go?
All right. I'm trying to think if there is... I felt like I had one more. Might have escaped me.
I did have one more, I guess. KeyForge. The latest set just came out. I got the Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah?
And I just... You know I love KeyForge.
Yeah.
Bringing it up. Maybe one random person will listen one day and play KeyForge with me. It's so good. Because the newest set, if you backed it, they sent a deck where, like, the new thing was, like, going to be in it. Because the decks are, like, algorithmically generated.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So they, like, tweaked it. Be like, oh, here's your backer deck with one of the cool new characters in it.
Nice.
And I was playing my boy in it. It came out. It was busted. It was so busted. Wow. Like, it was this dinosaur ghost that anytime he fought you, he would... capture some of your amber, and all the amber that has on it turns into additional power.
It definitely seems unfair.
Yeah. I was like, he's like 30 now. I was like, if you ever kill him, you'll get enough to build all your keys, but good luck.
Jeez. Yeah.
It was a sick draw. I was so stoked. And I think at Gen Con this year, I'm going to try to make sure to get in their nationals tournament.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. I'm super jazzed about Wormspan.
I know. I'm so glad you're going to order it.
Dude, for sure.
Make that it's our next it. Episode, hopefully.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe we'll do something before it even comes out.
I'm excited, though. Can't wait. But anyway, so what are we jumping into next? Distilled?
Yeah, we're going to play Distilled today.
All right. Well, stay tuned to the next episode. Goodbye for now.
Don't touch that dial.
You made it to the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Make sure to review, subscribe, like, heart, thumbs up, star, or whatever your listening platform lets you do to say we're something a human could listen to. You can message us on Twitter, Facebook, or anchor.fm with all complaints and corrections. All the links you need are on abovetheboardpodcast.com. Stay above the board.
With Josh
and Phil.